All right, we're ready to go now. I won't start all the way back over though, okay? Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 9.
Amen.
This morning, amen. We're going to look at a little story here where Jesus has a meeting with three different guys here, and basically they're wanting to come and follow him, but there's a few things that he's got to talk to them about. So we're going to look at this scripture here today, and the title of the sermon today is, Will You Pay the Cost to Follow Jesus? You know, I think we all will say that we're followers of Christ, but it comes with a cost, doesn't it? I mean, you can't just say that, oh, Jesus, I'm all in for you, without having to make some sacrifices along the way. And that's what these three guys found out when Jesus met up with them, that there is going to be some change that has to take place in your life if you're going to follow me. It's not going to be an easy road. The Bible tells us that we will be persecuted for his name's sake. Like I said before, we're not going to be treated like maybe Paul got treated and put in prison and beaten and things like this. But you will face persecution from people. And sometimes you may even face it from your own family. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So if you can, I'm going to ask those of you that can, if you'll stand to your feet. We're just going to read a few verses here in Luke chapter 9. We're going to begin with verse 57 and read to verse 62. It said, And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. It never comes back void. I just pray now in the next few minutes, God, you'll empty myself of me and let it be all about you. Lord, let the word be spoken today that you want us to hear, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Guys, I'm going to tell you, it's my desire here at Bethesda Baptist Church to see as many people as possible come to know the Lord. But I want you to understand this. Sometimes we can get caught up if we're not careful in a numbers game. And, you know, there's some churches that they're all about, oh, we want to see thousands of people here every Sunday. I would love nothing better than that. But I'm going to tell you this, guys. I want to see men, women, young people, boys and girls who are sold out wholeheartedly to serving Jesus here. Amen. That's what I believe that God is looking for in churches today. Certainly, we want to get the people here. We want to disciple them. We want to train them. But guys, we want people to be sold out for Jesus. Amen. That's what's important. And that's what we're working toward and we're striving toward here. I want to take a look at these three guys here that Jesus comes upon here and talks with, because I believe we can learn a lot about what it takes to follow Jesus from these guys. Let's look at the first one here. I believe definitely that the follower of Jesus has no earthly security. Has no earthly security. Look at what Jesus said to him here in verse 58. Now this guy says, Hey Lord, I'm going to follow you wherever you want to go. Now when you tell Jesus something like that, that's a bold statement, isn't it? You better be ready, because God will take you to a lot of different places if you really are serious about wanting to go and serve him. And look at what Jesus told him. He's telling this guy, it's almost like he's, if you read into the scripture, it's almost like he's trying to convince him, hey, I don't think you really want to do this, because, you know, listen to what I got to tell you here. He said, and Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He's saying, look, man, if you want to follow me, there's going to be a lot of times you're not going to have anywhere to stay. Unless people invite you into their home, you're going to be destitute. You're going to be wandering around. There's not going to be a lot of fun and relaxation if you're going to come and follow me. So Jesus is just preparing him here. He's saying, hey, you know what? There's no earthly security here. This guy says, I'll follow you wherever you go. You see, Jesus was not one of these high-flying rabbis here who jetted from village to village, staying in the best hotels, but rather he was a true faith ministry. True faith ministry. Everything Jesus did was on borrowed time. Everything he had, either somebody loaned it to him or provided it for him. He did not have really anything on this earth that he could claim as his own possession. And I mentioned in the notes here, Jesus stepped out of his throne of glory now, stepped out of that to come and be a servant. He exchanged wealth for poverty. He exchanged being a ruler for being a servant. Here's God up here in the heavens. Gave a part of himself into a man named Jesus. Left from being the ruler of all the world and came down to this earth to be a what? A lowly servant, right? Jesus said, I have come to serve, not to be served. And that's what got all the people so upset about it. They were thinking, oh, the Messiah is coming. He's going to get us out from all this oppression by Rome. But no, when they found out he was born in a lowly stable, they're like, man, this ain't no Messiah. Born over here in this horse stable over here. But you see, Jesus came with another plan. And he wanted people to follow him, but he wanted to make sure they understood, hey, there is a cost if you're going to follow me. I tell everybody that when I talk to them, I'm like, being a Christian, especially in the 21st century today, is not an easy thing. Your friends are going to ridicule you. They're going to question you. They're going to say, well, why are you all about all that church stuff? And why are you all about all this and that? You know, I believe in God. Guys, it's not enough to believe. Even Satan believes in God. And guess what the Bible says? And shudders when he hears the name of Jesus. So you see, it's not enough simply to believe. Are you willing to pay the cost? Are you willing to pay the cost? Jesus had no earthly security. He was loaned accommodations by those who loved him. He borrowed a coin, if you remember, to tell a story with. He borrowed a donkey to ride into Jerusalem and fulfill prophecy. He was even buried in a borrowed tomb. Nothing he had was actually anything he could call his own here on this earthly ministry. So, you see, Jesus was making sure this guy understood, there is no earthly security if you're going to follow me. There's no earthly security. He had nothing. Those who follow him, guys, we got to be prepared for the same road. No earthly security. You're not going to be able to fall back on all of that. And, you know, I'm not saying any security, because there's certainly security in following Jesus, right? There's certainly security in following Jesus. But what I'm saying is, it's not in the security of possessions and money and homes or things like that. You will only have the security of God's faithfulness. Isn't that enough? If you believe that, say amen. That's enough, isn't it? To know that I've got God's faithfulness flowing through me, that he's going to watch out for me. That's enough for me to say, God, I'm all in. I want to be all I can be for you. Guys, you'll only have the security of that faithfulness and a life beyond this one that nobody can take away from you. Let me tell you something.
Amen.
If you're a born-again believer in Jesus, no one can take that from you. Amen? Amen. Nobody can take that from you. It's not going to disappear. Some people believe you can lose your religion. God's Word doesn't say that. I believe if you've truly had an experience with the Master, you are saved for all eternity. Amen.
Amen.
There will be no going back and, oh, I messed up, so now I need to go back up here and I need to pray this prayer and I need to get saved again. No, I believe in once saved, always saved. Amen.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you this. The problem is some people really have not found true salvation. They think they found it, but they really might not have found it completely. But that's for another sermon. I'm not going to get off on that because I can preach a whole sermon about that. Let's keep going on here. Let's look at the second guy. Look at the second guy Jesus comes in contact with. Now, this sounds harsh, guys. I'm going to be honest with you. When I first read this scripture many, many years ago, I was like, Jesus, that's kind of cruel what you're saying here. But you got to understand what he's really meaning here. I want to breathe a little bit further understanding into you about what this scripture is talking about here. Because in verse 59, he says, and he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Now on the surface, that sounds cruel, doesn't it? If you read into that literally what he's saying, no, don't worry about burying your father. Let somebody else do it. But let me explain a couple of things to you. There's two trains of thought on this. Number one, this guy's father had not died yet. Okay? So what he's saying is, my daddy's pretty close to death here. Can I just stay around and make sure he gets a proper burial before I go with you? And Jesus is saying, let somebody else worry about that. Or he could have already died. And one thing you got to understand, Jewish customs, this funeral thing drug out for over a year. They would bury the body in a tomb, and then at about the 1 year mark, the son would go back, get the bones, put them in a special box, put them into a slot inside the tomb wall, and then that would kind of complete the burial process. So maybe what this guy was saying was, Lord, I hadn't gone back and got his bones yet. Can you just wait for me to do that, and I'll get all this finished? But see, guys, here's the thing. Jesus tells him, let the dead bury their own dead. In other words, what he's saying, I've called you to preach for me. The point he's trying to make here is that if you're going to follow him, then the claims of his kingdom come before anything and anyone else. Yeah. Now, guys, that's a tough thing for some people to swallow. What Jesus is saying here is, if you're worried about your traditions and getting all your things done before, then you're not going to be of use to me right now in the kingdom, is what he's saying. And that's hard for some people to understand. In fact, think about the rich young ruler. He came up to Jesus. He said, what do I have to do to get eternal life? Jesus said, keep my commands. What did the young ruler say? Oh, well, I've done that, Lord. I've got that under control. But then Jesus told him to do the one thing that made him walk away with his head hung in shame. He said, sell all you got, give it to the poor, and come follow me and you'll have eternal life. The young man hung his head and walked away because he was very wealthy. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people in this world are going to miss out on heaven and miss out on opportunities to serve Jesus because they're too caught up in the materialistic world in which we live. It's just a fact. Some people will not give up earthly possessions for heavenly possessions. Man, let me tell you something. There's nothing on this earth that will equate to what you're going to get from Jesus one day. Amen?
Amen.
Nothing. So don't get caught up in all of this stuff. Jesus went on to say that anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He said anyone that loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You should love Jesus with your whole heart and soul more than you love your wife, more than you love your children. That's what Jesus expects from us as believers. Now, he's not saying ignore our responsibilities as parents. He's not saying any of that kind of thing. You know, but sometimes, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. Some people have had to make decisions for Jesus that have caused people in their life, family, friends, relationships, to walk out on them because of their service for Jesus. And you know what? That's okay. That's what God wants. He wants you to be focused on him. And let me tell you something. Talking about relationships and things like this, God will bring you into the relationship he wants you in. If you are putting him first, he's going to find that Mr. Right or that Miss Right for you one day. Amen?
Amen.
He's going to find that person. He's going to bring him to you. But you got to put him first. You got to do his will and his way. He's not going to wait around on you to try to figure it out. We got to know what we're going to do. And that is serve him. We're either going to be all in or we're not going to be in at all. That's the way it is. That's what he's trying to get across here. You know, Jesus was telling this man that his call was urgent. We couldn't wait for him to carry out all these burial rituals and things like this. The kingdom is at hand. That's what Jesus was trying to tell him. Friends, let me tell you something. If God is calling you to follow him, his call comes first.
Amen.
Let me say that again. His call comes first. If he's calling you to follow him, you must not allow excuses to hinder you. Oh, Lord, let me take care of my dead father here. I need to bury him. Oh, Lord, let me go and take care of this. I just need to tell a few more people goodbye. No, if you're sold out to Jesus, you're going to do what he tells you to do. You're going to do it when he tells you to do it. Amen.
Amen.
But now there's a flip side to that. Sometimes people head off and think they're doing what God wants them to do when in reality they're not. So one thing you got to be careful about is don't get ahead of God. Okay? Sometimes we try to get ahead of God. We try to say, well, you know what, Lord? I know you want me to be a minister, so I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to go get in seminary and I'm going to get trained and I'm going to be ready to go. And then their family struggles. They struggle. They can't make ends meet. They're sitting there crying out, God, what's happening here? I did what you wanted me to do. Yeah, but you didn't do it when he wanted you to do it. You did it because you knew he wanted you to do it. So you see, you got to understand, it's all about God's timing, right? Amen. How many of you have had things happen in your life where when you look back on them, you realize you weren't ready to receive that at the time, but when the right time came, God put it in your life. Amen. When the right time came, people came into your life. When the right time came, you found the spouse that you've been married to for 50 or 60 years now. God brought that about when the time was right, not a second before that.
Amen.
Guys, you've got to understand that. God has got your best interest 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Amen.
We don't think like that, do we? We watch out for ourselves. We might watch out for our family too. But it's not a constant watch sometimes. Sometimes we just forget about responsibility sometimes, don't we? We just put them to the side. But God never loses his responsibility toward us. He doesn't put it aside. He continues to watch after his children every minute of every day. Let's look at this third guy here. Now this guy right here is kind of like a lot of us in this day and age. Guys, if you're going to follow Jesus, you cannot have earthly distractions. You can't have earthly distractions. Look at what this guy said right here. And another also said, Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me first go. There's that conjunction, but. Guys, let me tell you something. That one little word will get you in more trouble with Jesus. I'm telling you. If you start saying, Lord, I love you, but. Lord, I want to serve you, but. Lord, I'll be at church next Sunday, but. You're missing the boat, guys. Take that conjunction out of your life. Say, Lord, I will do these things. You know why? Because you're first in my life.
Amen.
That's why I'm going to do these things for you. And then he goes and says, Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, what Jesus is telling him is this. Look, if you're going to start serving me, then all of a sudden you stop and you want to go back to where you were, you're not fit to serve me. You know, I've got to have you moving forward in a continual motion. Guys, don't ever look back at where you came from, because I'm going to tell you something, it's right on your heels. Amen. If you believe that, say amen. Where you came from is right on your heels right now, nipping at your heels. If you stop long enough to turn around and look back at it, it's going to jump on you. It's going to attack you. Guys, I've said this many times. It's not how you start the race, it's how you finish the race. Amen. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't care where you started the race as long as you finish it in the right place?
Amen.
Amen. Guys, this guy, Jesus is telling this man, he's like, hey, he's already declared that he wants to follow him, but he wanted to be able to tell all his loved ones goodbye and give all of his farewells and all this kind of stuff. He's telling him that if he has to put his hand to the plow and then puts it down, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus is simply saying here, don't look back. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't look back. How many of you in your life, you don't have to raise your hand here, but I want you to think about this. Man, I like it. I can move out here and still got a little microphone in. Amen. It's like a toy. I felt like a kid at Christmas this morning when I got this thing. I was testing 1, 2, 3, and the boys were making fun of me, saying, why do you always say that? I was like, well, it makes more sense than just start talking in it. Amen. But anyhow, guys, let me tell you something. Don't regret what has happened in your past. Because if you believe Romans 8:28, then everything that has happened in your past is going to be positive for your future. Amen?
Amen.
Let me say that verse right there. All of you should know it. It should be a memory verse to you if you don't already have it. All things work together for the good to those who are the called according to his purpose. Let me summarize that in common layman's terms here. No matter what kind of stuff happens in your life, it's all going to work for good if you love Jesus and you put him first in your life. Amen.
Amen.
It's going to work for good. Yeah, you had tragedy here, but guess what? You're going to have triumph over there. Yes, you had heartache here, but you're going to be overjoyed over here.
Amen.
You might not see it at first. You might think, oh man, my life is terrible. Oh, everything's going wrong for me. But let me tell you something. It's in the valleys in life that you learn to look up to God and you learn and you move and you transform into the person that God wants you to be.
Amen.
So guys, let me tell you something. There's going to be valley experiences in your life. They have to come. They must come in order for God to test you and make sure that you're the person that he needs you to be. They're going to come. But see, this guy, he was wanting to look back. He was like, yeah, God, I want to follow you. I want to follow you, Jesus, but I need time to make sure I say all my goodbyes. Let me tell you something. There's time for reunion when we get to heaven. Amen.
Amen.
God's job is right now on this earth. And we need to be sold out. We need to be leading people to Christ right now. I'm telling you, every time you open up the newspaper here lately, you find of another young person that's gotten killed or drowned or some tragedy has happened. I did the funeral of Thomas Thornton here about a month or so ago. Tragedy. But praise God, he knew Jesus as his Savior. I found on my phone, let me tell you something, it's the most special thing. I've kept it and I'm going to give it to his brother and his mom and dad one day. I'm going to figure out how to send it to him. You know, I'm not the most technological person in the world, amen. But we had a conversation on Messenger way back in November of 2017. He was telling me about Jesus and about how he knew he accepted Jesus and how coming to FCA had made a difference for him. And he got the picture. He didn't know that the summer of 2018 would be his last days on this earth. Guys, we got to have a sense of urgency. We must pay the cost to follow Jesus if we're going to make sure our loved ones are there with us one day. We got to make sure with that. Guys, let me tell you something. When Peter and James and John followed Jesus, they literally dropped their nets in midstream and took off after Jesus. And that was after Jesus already brought them a big catch that they couldn't hardly get over into the boat. Then Jesus said, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Okay, Jesus, boom, there it was. They followed him for the rest of their life. But you see, this guy right here, he wanted to go and tie up all the loose ends. Guys, when God is calling you to greatness, you must drop it and go. It doesn't mean that it's going to happen immediately, but he's preparing you for it, and you got to start taking those steps toward getting there. Guys, many people have looked back when God called them forward. Let me give you some examples here. Lot's wife, you remember what happened to her? God said, don't look back on that burning city. I'm destroying that sinful place. What did she do? I have to take one more little peek. And she turned into a pillar of salt. What about Judas Iscariot? Betrayed Jesus. Then there was Demas. There were many others. None of these are remembered for anything good. They're remembered for looking back. They're remembered for not doing the right thing. Not doing what God had called them to do. Guys, if you're going to follow Jesus, there must be no going back. If you're going to follow Jesus, you cannot go back. You know the hymn, though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back. No turning back. That's what that hymn's talking about. Once you start moving with Jesus, you don't stop and go back. How many of you would like to go back to the way you were before you got saved? Anybody in here want to go back to that lifestyle? Want to go back to living like that? I hope not. Because I'm going to tell you, once you've tasted of the light, you're going to always want to be in the light. Now that doesn't mean that sometimes you're not going to slip off into darkness because you've got a few things out of control. But guys, when you've tasted of the light and you know Jesus as your Savior, you're going to want to be drawn to that. You're going to stay in that light. You're going to do what it takes to serve Him the rest of your life. I can't tell you how great my life has been since I've known Jesus, since I got in a right relationship with Him. It's not been easy.
Amen.
It's not been an easy thing. I have faced tragedy. I have faced triumph. I face sadness. I face joy. But in all and through all, I've kept my eyes focused on Jesus.
Amen.
And that has made all the difference. That has made the difference. Guys, you can't take your eyes off of Him and wonder about what it's going to cost. Because you've already been guaranteed the greatest life insurance policy ever. That's heaven. Eternity with Jesus. Can you get any better than that? It doesn't get any better than that, does it?
Yeah.
I just hope and pray here today, brothers and sisters, that you're willing to sacrifice everything in order to follow Jesus. You cannot look back one day. Because guys, I'm going to tell you, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to in the past who have said, boy, I sure wish I'd done this different. I sure wish I'd done that different. Guess what? They had every opportunity to do it God's way and they chose not to. Now you call on the name of the Lord, ask Him for forgiveness. If you've fallen into sin or whatever, He's going to forgive you. But don't look back. Don't go back and say, oh, I'm this terrible person. No. You're fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And you're going to stay that way the rest of your life. So don't look back. Move forward. Don't let simple things get you all bent out of shape and get you upset. Life's too short for that. All of these young people that we've been reading about in the last few months, I can only hope and pray they were in a good relationship, first of all with Jesus, and second of all with their loved ones. Because there's no going back. You can't look back. But you can surely look forward and you can continue to move forward. I simply ask you this question. Are you willing to pay the cost for serving Jesus? Only you can answer that, guys. I'm willing to do that. You know what? It doesn't matter to me if God's provided my basic needs. That's all I really need on this earth. Oh yeah, sometimes I sit there and go, Lord, it sure would be nice if I had a little extra money here and there. But you know what? He's taking care of my needs. I don't need anything else. And guys, don't get caught up in that trap. Because there is going to be a cost if you're wanting to serve Jesus each and every day of your life. Father God, I thank You, Lord, for this day. I thank You for the wonderful time we've had here today, Lord, for these precious children that came and that participated in our vacation Bible school. Lord, I thank You for all the leaders and the helpers that participated with that. Lord, I'm praying here today, Lord, that if there's somebody here today that this word spoke to, Lord, that they'll move into action. Maybe it's somebody who has just kind of over the weeks or months or years just kind of gotten out of fellowship a little bit and not moving in the direction they need to be moving in. I just pray, God, You would point them in the right direction and keep them on that path. Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know You as their Savior, I pray, God, they'll find You today. And Lord, I just pray that all of this has been pleasing in Your sight, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing, baby?
Hymn 446.
Hymn number 446. The altar is open. Let's stand and sing hymn number 446.